What's going on, everyone? I'm Rob Anthony, and this is Anthony Talks Too Much, or the Flex Around the World podcast, depending on where you are listening. We talk cabin crew lifestyle, we talk travel, we talk fitness, we talk gay life, but today we are talking Britney Spears, and I got a lot to say, so let's get started. Now, as many of you know, the New York Times just put out an amazing documentary called Framing Britney Spears. We're gonna dive deep into this. We're gonna go over what the documentary talked about, what it didn't talk about. There's definitely a lot that it left uncovered. There's a lot more going on than you guys are even aware of, but I would just like to say, first of all, welcome, hello to the general public. The Britney Army has been waiting for years for you guys to come and join us on this mission, because for so long, people have been saying, what's going on with Britney Spears? And I think that is the wrong question to ask. Why was nobody asking for so long? What has happened to Britney Spears? And finally, with this documentary, they have. And now the general public is catching on that something hasn't been right for a very, very long time. Now, a lot was left out of this documentary, but it was a good starting point for the general public to see what has happened to Britney Spears over the years and why is she in this conservatorship still. We're also gonna go over the documentary, talk about the three kind of labels they projected onto her that the documentary showed us, and I'm gonna fill in some of the gaps of what was left out in regards to what's happening with the conservatorship case. Now, the big question here that I want everyone to think about is the most important one, because we're not denying that perhaps this conservatorship was put into place for a reason. Obviously, we know Britney was going through a very hard time during 2007, 2008. I'm not gonna repeat it because that's the great thing the documentary did. It explained all of that in great detail and showed the chronological events leading up to kind of this breaking point. The main question I want to address is, why is this conservatorship still in place? And that is what Britney fans, Britney Army, the general public should be asking. So now you guys are finally caught up on why and how it was put into place. Now the question is, why? Still to this day, after 13 years. It doesn't make sense, right? Just some basic things about the conservatorship. It was put in place in a time where Britney's family thought they were losing control of their daughter. Now, I totally get that, and I do actually think that both parents had good intentions when this started. Britney was obviously going through a really rough time. She was susceptible to a lot of outside influence that they thought was bad. They really needed a foolproof way to kind of take control of their daughter's life, because I do think they really were worried at that point in time. However, the arrangement was supposed to be temporary, and somehow along the way it turned from temporary to permanent to even what the attorneys themselves on Jamie Spears' side called a hybrid business model, meaning they viewed the conservatorship as not only something that was a way to protect Britney, but also very good for her business. Now, that's a conflict of interest right there, because a conservatorship is just supposed to be protecting someone, taking care of them, people that generally can't care for themselves. It's not supposed to be a way to run a business empire. So again, I'm not denying that the conservatorship had a purpose in the beginning, but there is two sides to every story. The documentary did show us that there is some medical underlying things that we may not know about, but I think, and the majority of the Britney Army fan base thinks, there's really nothing there. Maybe she's bipolar. Maybe she does suffer from anxiety or depression, but these are all normal things that people in everyday life still manage to run their everyday lives with. They don't need other people literally controlling them and stripping away their rights simply because they have a mental health condition, which we also have never seen any evidence of. All we know was that there was some document from a doctor and an attorney on Britney's dad's side where they decided over about 15 minutes of talking to Britney during that time that she wasn't able to hire her own counsel. The big problem that we see that Adam Streisand was talking about, where he wasn't able to represent her like she requested because of this so-called underlying medical condition that has never been released to the public. Now, even if that was the case, even if there was a medical condition then, even if both parents thought this was the best way to kind of get a grip on their daughter's life, it was supposed to be temporary. So why and when did this change exactly? It happened around the Circus Tour, or Britney's huge comeback. As you know, Britney made a huge comeback with Womanizer, Circus, that whole era. But this was essentially just years after she went on TV, after her breakdown, after the conservatorship was put into place, after Blackout and that whole album, she was still working. If a woman has such a detrimental mental health condition that she needs all of her rights stripped and someone to monitor her 24/7, tell her to take her medication, who she can hang out with, drive her around because she's not allowed to drive. Why is this woman being thrust on stage performing, not once, not twice, but for many years after the fact? Blackout, okay, she didn't really perform a lot. That was a lot going on. I think they ended up doing some cartoonish music videos because she just wasn't totally into it at that point in time. She had a lot going on. We get that. Now, Blackout was one of her best albums, so it's interesting that her art was so good at the time, that her personal life was so dark. But once Womanizer and that circus era came around and that big, huge stadium tour came around, she was really working extremely hard. And anybody, even if they're not a big Britney fan, that went to that concert said that, wow, she's back. This is the best thing I've ever seen. My question is, why was the conservatorship still happening at that point in time? If she can perform and do a world tour, that was her last world tour. I mean, huge world tour. She did a little bit with Piece of Me. She went internationally for a couple weeks, but this was a major, major world tour. Let's not forget how huge that concert was. The setup alone, I think there was three different stages. So this was like the biggest concert of her life. They really put everything into this. So if she was able to train for that, rehearse for that, practice the dance moves, memorize everything, do stage blocking, and then on top of that, work out, do album promotion, music videos, interviews on TV, to me that seems like someone that has it together. Because the demands of a pop star are really intense. And the work when you're promoting an album and touring is very arduous. So if she had some sort of condition, mental health condition that didn't let her run her own personal life, I think it would have come across when she was performing this circus tour. Then after the circus tour, she goes on, she does the X Factor, she does so many things. So as you all know, and as the documentary showed us, Britney has been working consistently since the conservatorship was put in place. Now, Jamie's side uses this as their defense. Look how good she is, she bounced back, we saved her from financial troubles, her business is growing, she has so many opportunities. Yeah, that's great. That still doesn't justify the fact that she has a conservatorship over her personal life. There's two parts to this conservatorship, let's remember. There's the business side and the personal side, right? And you can have two separate things. You can have a conservatorship for the business side of things. And maybe Britney wants that. Maybe it's too much for her to handle. I mean, I would want that. She has said she's fine with an outside fiduciary firm kind of managing her assets and her business empire. But why does she have somebody, literally some random woman, once Jamie stepped down, controlling her life? It's a little strange for someone that's almost 40. Now, I actually know someone that worked on the circus tour. I was told that in order for, I think it was Live Nation or Ticketmaster, whichever one of the big two was repping that stadium tour, they were not gonna insure her if the conservatorship was not still in effect. So I think that is why you see, after it was supposed to be temporary and Britney's family kind of gained control of the situation, they helped her make this comeback, that the conservatorship continued, because essentially, you know, she wanted to go on this tour. I don't think we're in a situation where it was ever her team and her family forcing her to work. I do think Britney likes to work, but you also have to look at the flip side. All this woman knows is working. To suddenly take that away from her when she's going through personal struggles, she's gonna have no outlet, right? I mean, when people are going through things, they wanna work, they want distractions. You have to kind of work through all of that. You can't just sit around at home. Now the circus tour comes in. All right, so they have to continue it in order for her to continue this tour and do some other business opportunities. So why then after that? It was just like it's kept slowly getting extended to the point where almost I think Britney, her team, and everybody was so used to it, she almost became complacent. And I think once you're in a situation like that for so long, you're gonna normalize it and justify it in your mind. Let's not forget, Britney also has kids. That's a major component here. And that was a major component when the conservatorship was first put into place. And I believe that her team or her dad kind of used her kids as a justification for this. You know, oh, we need to get your visitation back. It's gonna help strengthen your custody agreement. So pretty much you should just go along with this conservatorship, you know, so you can continue to work, let other people like manage all the business and then see your kids. I really do think Britney's kids are part of the reason that she was just okay with this and why it has now been extended so long. And now she's in a situation where she can't really get out. But I just want to have you start to think, why is this conservatorship still in place? And I think that is something important that the documentary showed us, right? There was two great things about the documentary. It put everything that happened to Britney in perspective, And it also makes us question, why is this still happening now? And why is it so hard for her to get out of, when it seems like from the outside and everything she's done, she's doing okay. And she's made it clear that she isn't happy with the arrangement. She isn't happy with her father being in charge of her personal person. And she's making moves to try and get out. Now, let's talk about the Instagram, because this is something that really bothers me. And this is something that people have been saying for years. And I'm glad now the documentary has come out. So I hope everybody shuts up about this. I'm sick and tired of hearing, what's going on with Britney? Her Instagram posts are really weird. She seems off, etc., etc. The problem with this is it pushes the narrative that she does need this conservatorship, right? If people start to think she looks off or not all there, they're going to justify having the conservatorship over her personal life. Now, think about this in a different perspective. Instead of thinking, what's wrong with Britney? Why are we not asking, what's wrong with the situation that's causing her to act like this? That's how you have to start thinking. It makes me so angry when people say she looks crazy. What I would say about this is think about the situation she's been in for so long. Since essentially the time she was 25, she has pretty much been isolated in terms of her personal life. Yeah, they've thrown her on stage. Yeah, she talks to people all day in terms of promotion and business things. But does she really have a lot of personal relationships? Is she working her social behaviors in that way? Not really. Imagine being a pop star. You already have so much protection, people basically running your life as is because it's so hectic. But then on top of that, you have a conservatorship where, for instance, when she was in Las Vegas, you know, her dancers had to sign NDAs and they can't even hang out with her except for whatever sort of group dinners or group events that her management organized. So this is a woman who's around people all the time, but probably feels very lonely because she has a very small inner circle, and her inner circle has to be completely approved of by her father for the longest time, and then this other woman, Jodie Montgomery, who came in later once Jamie stepped down temporarily as her conservator. So I want you guys to just put this in perspective in your mind for a little bit. Imagine how you have felt during COVID, how alone you've felt, how bored you've been in your house, how tired you are that you can't do normal things. That's pretty much been Britney's life for a really long time, at least when she wasn't working during this conservatorship. So since 25, she has basically had no personal liberties. Can't drive a car, can't do any of that stuff. Imagine what that does to your psyche on a very subconscious level, right? You're having your rights stripped away. You're having other people manage your entire life, tell you who you can hang out with, vet everybody that's coming in and out of your door. You have to get permission to have your boyfriend come over and spend the night. I mean, this is not normal for someone who's an adult. So that alone makes you start to think and probably act like a child. You know, a lot of fans that go to her meet and greets, they even comment that she's very shy, she's very socially awkward, even anxious. I'll even tell you, I definitely think she has some sort of social anxiety, and I think it's partly because of that level of fame that she reached and how she was hounded by the paparazzi, which the documentary did a great job of showing. And that's something I really want you guys to take away from this, because that does not exist anymore. First of all, there's no one even close to the level of fame that Britney was. We have the Kardashians, we have Taylor Swift, these are all hugely famous people. Of course, the Kardashians go outside, they're gonna be photographed like crazy, but nothing is to the level that it was with Britney, and I'll tell you why. You have to remember, there wasn't any cell phones during this time. So the narrative about celebrities really came from the media, and if a celebrity wanted to make a statement, they had to either write a letter to fans from their website, put out a press release, or what have you. They couldn't just talk into their camera phone or put something up on Instagram. So that's why the paparazzi craze was so huge, because that was the only way we had a glimpse of the celebrity's life. Product placement. So not only does she have this extreme isolation in her personal life, but think about the fact that now the very essence of what she's under, which is supposed to protect her, is isolating her so much that maybe it is making her a little bit mentally ill, or she's just kind of stuck evolving. You know, your brain is like a muscle. If you don't use it, you're gonna lose it. Imagine not having many people to talk to. I mean, we see her Instagram videos. She pretty much looks like she's alone in her huge mansion in wherever she is. Where does she live? I think she lives in Hidden Hills. Somewhere, she lives somewhere out in Calabasas. It seems like she's there all by herself in this massive mansion. She doesn't have much to do except work out, do yoga. I mean, I don't know. Is she even practicing her singing or writing? Who knows what she's doing? Her boyfriend might come over, but that's pretty much it. So her entire like adult life, she's pretty much been living in self-isolation, kind of like we have been in COVID during this time. So if you've been feeling this way for, what are we at now, like a year in COVID, imagine how she's feeling. Not only that, but this thing that's around her to protect her has now left her so lonely. I think she also probably is experiencing some sort of PTSD from this. I mean, you have to remember, not only have all her rights been taken away, but she's paying for this. So her money is paying for her own lawyers, which she didn't get to choose, and then her father's lawyers, and then everybody else that's involved. So she's paying out double, both sides. I think on some level, that's gonna make you feel really like messed up. Not only that, but I wanna talk about the medication. We don't know if she needs medication, if they're forcing medication on her. I mean, at the end of the day, she really doesn't have a choice. Whatever medical condition they claim she has to take this medication. And in fact, that's one of the rumors why allegedly Domination was canceled. I don't remember if the documentary talks about it. Obviously, they say it was canceled because she was put into that mental health facility and then they blamed it on her father's illness, but that's not the case. That voicemail that was left for the Britney's Graham girls said she did not want to go to that mental health facility, but the reason that Domination was canceled, and let's not forget, they were almost ready to go. They would have been on stage, I think that month. They were almost done with rehearsals, everything like that. The reason that didn't go on was because allegedly, Britney's father was not happy. She had stopped taking her medication, or maybe she was feeling good. She didn't want to be on it. Who knows what the situation is there? Again, I don't want to talk about so much of her medical stuff because we don't know. But I think you kind of can look at someone and determine like whether they are with it and should be working or shouldn't be working. And this entire time, Britney's been working. So she seems like she's pretty okay up there, I think. But if they are forcing this medication on her unnecessarily, the long-term effects of being on any sort of medication like this, I don't know if it's, you know, an anxiety medication, an antidepressant, but it actually changes your brain chemistry. I mean, there's people that are on antidepressants that's so long that their brain chemistry changes and then parts of their face start to move uncontrollably and then they gotta be put on a medication to stop that. I mean, it's just crazy what can happen to you when you're on medication like that for such an extended amount of time. The rumor is Britney stopped taking her medication. Her dad said, you gotta take your medication, and if you don't, I'm gonna cancel the tour. The one thing you wanna do, and Britney was happy to do this tour. I think she was even more excited about this tour, about Domination, than she was about Piece of Me, because Piece of Me was really a greatest hit show, which Domination was gonna have, but Domination was gonna be fresh, sexy. She had a lot more artistic control. They brought in really great artistic directors. So people were excited. She was gonna do songs she hasn't done in a long time, probably some newer material. So she seemed really into it. And I think she was really happy to kind of start showcasing this newer material. So she didn't take the medication. The father said, you better take it. She didn't want to. So he said, I'm gonna pull the plug on the show. And he did. And that's where we're at, allegedly. Now, let's go back to 2007, 2008 really quickly, because I just wanna touch on some things. People can say, well, why didn't Britney leave Los Angeles? If the paparazzi were so crazy, why did she stay? She seemed like such a simple girl. Why didn't she just move back home, or her mom took her back home? You have to remember at this point in time, she had kids. She was in a custody battle. So she's not, first of all, allowed to take them to Louisiana, and she's not gonna go to Louisiana herself and leave her babies behind. So she had to stay in LA. So that's why she was there. So I don't think you can say like she should have left. That wasn't really an option that was available to her. Now, where was her mom? Because her mom and her were very close throughout much of her career, almost like a rock for her. And all of a sudden she disappeared. And they did have a falling out at this time. I don't really know what happened, but it was for quite an extended period. And it was kind of around this time. And that is why Lynn had such a difficult time when Britney was really going through this with other people. There were other influences in her life. She couldn't get control of her daughter. And that's why I think she agreed to let Jamie proceed with this conservatorship. Now, I don't think the conservatorship was Jamie's idea, and this is something that the documentary left out. I don't want to go too much into it because, you know, this is all allegedly, and I don't want to talk bad about other people, but there is a woman named Lou Taylor who was, I don't think she is anymore, she owns a company called TriStar Entertainment, which managed Britney's estate, basically. Now, allegedly, this woman kind of weaseled her way into the Spears family life, somehow got into Jamie's ear during this time, and convinced him that a conservatorship was the best thing to do in order to protect Britney and protect her empire. You have to remember, Jamie is driven by money. The documentary made that clear. The Jive executive said, the only thing Jamie ever said to me was that his daughter was gonna be so rich, she was gonna buy him a boat. So we know he's driven by money. So his daughter is going through a downward spiral. Nobody can seem to control her. And suddenly someone comes along that has a management background, PR background, seems to know what's going on, and gives him a way to gain control of this situation. But this is a good thing for her because she's a business manager. So now she can weasel her way into Britney's huge empire and start to control that. This is something going on behind the scenes. Again, the documentary hasn't touched about this. She sued a lot of fans for basically talking crap about her online and saying that these rumors are true. So I'm not gonna dive into that, but there's a lot of confusion and a lot of questions and a lot of skepticism around Lou Taylor and TriStar Entertainment and how they got involved with Britney's empire. So I'm just gonna leave it at that. Maybe the New York Times will be able to dig a little deeper once they get some facts. I'm sure there's a lot of other people that are out there that are doing better research. Shout out to Britney's Grams Girls. I know they're doing a lot of stuff. Eat, Pray, Britney, the podcast. So there's tons of information out there. It's a dark rabbit hole if you want to go down it, but I just want to kind of tell you some things that the documentary left out, and that is one of them. How this woman basically convinced Jamie that it was a good idea to start this conservatorship. All right, so let's get into the documentary. I was so impressed by it. I think it was really well done. I think it covered everything in just the perfect way. Obviously, there was so much that was left out, but there's only so much information they could squeeze in. So for the general public, most of the people that don't know the facts, it was a great introduction to get everything really quick and basically get everyone brought up to speed on what's happening. I also love that it put, you know, the misogynistic media on blast, and that we can all exhale a sigh of relief and hopefully understand that we're gonna start to all collectively work together so this doesn't happen again. Because I think at the time, we were so slow on treating people with respect, especially celebrities and especially women celebrities. So what I found from the documentary was that there was kind of three labels overall that the media thrust upon Britney during this time when she was going through all of these personal struggles. She was basically labeled a slut. She was labeled then a crazy alcoholic drug user. And she was labeled a bad mother. Those are three misogynistic labels that, first of all, if she was a man, nobody would have said anything. And I think they're unfairly accurate. Number one, being a slut, being too slutty. I mean, I guess somebody had to be the person that broke the mold, and that was Britney, and that was probably also why her fame was such a meteoric rise, because there was never anybody like that, really. We had Madonna, but she was like older when she first came out. There was Debbie Gibson, but there was nobody that was that young that rose to Britney's level of fame. And you have to remember, she was so young. She matured so fast. She was in that industry since basically a child. So for people to say, you're too sexy, you know, when she's like a teenager, well, she probably grew up really fast to get to that point. I mean, you don't sign a record deal at age 14 if you're not like mature. So I think how the media turned on her when she was starting to age in her career, I'm talking like turn into an adult. Because remember, she came out when she was like 15, Baby One More Time. I think she was recording at like, you know, 13, 14 when she started promoting. I think she was only 15 or 16, so she was very young. When she danced at the VMAs with that python, she was just turning 18. And the year before, when she stripped off in that sequin body outfit, she was definitely underage. She was under 18. Britney was always walking that line of being, you know, a young woman, but, you know, sexual, but also relatable. But why does that have to be a bad thing? And why does it have to be so scary for women to be sexual, especially at that time? I mean, I'm not going to go into it because the documentary did an amazing job, but the amount of criticism over what she wore, her breasts, being a virgin? Come on, who cares? These are things that nobody's asked about. I mean, is anybody asking any female celebrities today about their boob job so much? I mean, she even went on SNL and made a huge skit about this because it was such a big thing. And I think you have to remember with Britney, everything was blown out of proportion. When she had that 24-hour Vegas marriage, I remember she went on TRL and she was basically just like, yeah, we got a little carried away, whatever, it was Vegas. I'm sure many people here have been doing far worse things in Vegas. And, you know, just in terms of the overall commentary about her life, just imagine being in your mid-20s and having a camera follow you around 24/7 and what sort of things they would have documented for the world to see. I think we all would have looked a lot worse off than Britney Spears did. But anyway, she's too sexy, you know, this whole thing. And basically then, because, oh, she dresses sexy, her outfits are sexy, whatever, and she must have cheated on Justin Timberlake, she's a slut. I mean, it's just the typical, like, high school quarterback, cheerleader scenario, right? Where Justin gets away scot-free, and everything is Britney's fault. Even though both parties had sex together, it's all Britney's fault, and she's a slut. And I really do think that Diane Warren should apologize. I hope this puts some pressure on her. I don't know if Justin will. I think he's going to be too proud. And I think Britney's even over it at this point. She probably just thinks they were both young. I don't really think she blames him. But I don't agree with, you know, what he did, especially if we're going to get into Janet Jackson. That's a whole nother thing. But he's clearly stepped on women to get where he's at. But Diane Warren, you're supposed to be a journalist. I mean, justifying that someone is talking about wanting to shoot Britney, she didn't even seem like she was upset about it. She was just like, well, you know, she said that because it's just so hard to parent people when you're around. So turn off the TV. That should have been Britney's response. Like, I think she even said, it's not my job to babysit your kids. She's a pop star. She's a performer. It's the parents' job to parent the kids. If they don't think something is right, they need to have a conversation with their kids. You can't expect an 18-year-old to change everything about their career and their image because of your daughter. And then to justify, like, yeah, you know, people don't like you because of that. And yeah, those comments, I mean, I've never heard someone say they want to shoot someone, but to me it makes sense just because of, you know, you're a celebrity and everything like that. What? How is that journalism? I mean, she was basically putting Britney in a corner in all of these questions to essentially admit that everything was kind of her fault. So, you know, I study journalism. I don't think that's good journalism. I think that interview was really sad. I think it would make her look a lot more credible if she takes accountability for really being unfair to Britney and not providing an opportunity for both sides of the story to be told. I don't think it was very fair for the media to portray her as kind of this slut because she was just, at the end of the day, you know, a young woman that was working and growing into her own sexuality the same way that everybody her age was. That should have been celebrated, you know. In fact, that should have been a reason to be proud of her and talk about growing into womanhood, because you have someone right there doing it in front of your eyes. You know, it's gonna be a transition. I don't think that should be like a shameful thing. And also, how long can someone be painted as a villain and harassed and stalked by the paparazzi and be on the cover of every single magazine, photoshopped to look horrible, you know, before they reach a breaking point? Now, speaking of the breaking point, I am really glad that the documentary put into perspective what actually happened on that night with the umbrella, because I had actually forgotten over the years the actual circumstances around that. The second label that I am not happy about that the media gave to Britney was that during this time that she, you know, she was having this breakdown because she was basically an alcoholic or taking drugs or partying too much. Yeah, Britney was partying. I'm not going to deny that. There's pictures. We all know what happened. She was also in her mid-20s. It's pretty normal for people to want to go out, blow off some steam, you know, and it's not like she was waking up at 8 a.m. and drinking a liter of vodka. I don't even know if any of that has been proved, if she was taking drugs. I'm sure she dabbled in stuff. She's a celebrity. She's going to go out to clubs. People are going to give her things. And that's where I'm going to say okay to the parents. If they were really so concerned at the time, they thought that was a good idea. But I don't think it's something we saw in Britney like spiraling out of control where she was partying all the time. There was just a brief period of time during that whole divorce and custody battle where she went out a couple times with Paris Hilton. Like, it's really not that big of a deal, but everyone caught onto this narrative that, yeah, she's drinking and she must be taking drugs and she needs to go to rehab. And like, everybody was just talking about her substance abuse issues, which was never proven. And nobody was really thinking like, oh, this woman needs help. Like, what's wrong? Like, maybe this whole situation is not good for her. Maybe she needs a break. Maybe we need to ease up. Maybe we should put some paparazzi laws into effect, which actually came into effect years after everything happened to Britney, because people saw how crazy that was. So I think that's also why the paparazzi are not as insane, because there's more protection for people now in California. And also, you know, once the cell phone came out, the pictures aren't that big of a deal. But this whole narrative of, you know, she's drinking too much, she needs to go to rehab, it wasn't really fair. I remember Craig Ferguson did this whole monologue about how he wasn't going to make fun of Britney at the time, because basically she was an alcoholic with substance abuse issues, and, you know, it's not nice to make fun of people for that. But why are you telling that to the general public when you don't even know if it's true? Why was nobody at the time talking about the responsibility of treating her like a human being? Everyone just assumed she was this alcoholic all of a sudden with no proof, and there was really not much truth to that. And then they called her crazy because she shaved her head. Well, I think she shaved her head because she was fed up. And like the guy said in the documentary, that was Britney's way of saying, I quit. And I think that was the other problem with that incident. They said she shaved her head, she must have taken drugs, she needed to pass that drug test. I think Britney was just like, I am done. Whatever you guys think of me, F you, I'm gonna do my thing, and I quit. I am not your pop star, I'm not your celebrity anymore. I'm not gonna have this perfect hair, this perfect image. Like, I'm done. You have broken me. That was Britney saying to the world, you broke me down and I'm never coming back. Interestingly enough, there was a song about this called Mona Lisa, if you want to dig really deep, and the lyrics are quite eerie because she basically talks about herself. She talks about a pop star that had it all, she was brought up, then she was torn down. When she came back, she was basically like a clone of herself, a robot, not the same person, a shell of a person. So the parallels between her real life and the lyrics of that song are quite interesting. This is a song that was never released, but it's out there in the archives. Go check it out. And I just want to say, imagine having a camera in your face on your worst day, and then think about what Britney was going through. She had all of that crazy paparazzi. She was in the middle of a divorce, or had just decided to divorce Kevin Federline, you know, and this is a woman who has said for years, this isn't a secret, she has said for years, she wants to get married, she wants to have kids. She's just a simple girl from the South that wanted to raise a family. If you watch older interviews of her, she never even thought she was gonna be around this long. There was one interview where they said, like, you know, are you gonna do this forever? Do you love to perform? And she was like, I love to sing and dance and it's fun for me to go on stage, but it's not my life. You know, I wanna raise a family, I wanna have kids. She's just a simple girl that really wanted to fall in love. She thought she was in love with Justin. She thought they were gonna be together forever. So that was probably a hugely devastating breakup for her. And I mean, I don't know about you, but I have friends that had huge relationships in high school. And when that ended, they were messed up for years. So let's remember, she had two kids back to back. Most likely, she probably had postpartum depression. So she's a young mom. She just had two kids. The dad is not in the picture. She's in the middle of a divorce and a custody battle. Like, she's got a lot going on. So I'm glad that the documentary reminded us that this wasn't just something where she went crazy, she took an umbrella and she beat the paparazzi's car. Like, this was months and months and months in the making leading up to this. And then on that specific night, the circumstance, I mean, she had just shaved her head. She had just tried to like see her kids with Kevin. He said no, so she was pissed off. And the paparazzi wouldn't leave her alone. Her friend is like, please leave her alone. Like, this is not a good time. And they wouldn't let up. So of course she snapped. I mean, I would do that probably on the first time I'm annoyed, not after months and months and months. So I think for people to say Britney is crazy, I mean, I think she had it very much together, because I would have been smashing that car like on day one if they were hounding me like that. The third label that the documentary showed us that they said Britney was a bad mother. And I think that's really unfair because, first of all, there's tons of bad mothers everywhere. Nobody's perfect. You kind of only learn as you go. No matter how many books you can read, you got to learn in like real life examples. And it's not like her job of being a mother was made easier, right? She made that very clear in the interviews where she broke down crying, asking the paparazzi to leave her alone. I mean, she's put in these situations where it's like fight or flight. Like, she's trying to carry her baby. She's being swarmed by paparazzi. The one where she's tripping, like, she just legitimately tripped. She was in New York City, and her foot got caught in, like, you know, the sidewalk, and she tripped. And then that's front page news. Britney almost drops her baby. Like, I mean, it's just, it's unfair. So to call her a bad mother because you've put her in this small petri dish and now the world is obsessed with her and making her everyday life super difficult, I think anybody would do some things that maybe were not the best decisions, but it's not like she had a lot of options or a lot of ways to get out of those situations. When she was pregnant with her second kid, she went on in an interview and broke down crying in tears, just asking the paparazzi to leave her alone. Is there any other celebrity that has done this, that this has happened to? And we still didn't listen, and people wonder what happened. Yeah, she must have went crazy. No, she didn't go crazy. Nobody listened to her. So those are the three labels that the media gave to her. And I'm really glad that the documentary broke it down that way and then explained to us the circumstances about that infamous night with the head shaving, the umbrella. But now I want to talk about some things that the program didn't cover, especially in regards to the conservatorship and how it began. I already told you about Lou Taylor and how it was supposed to be temporary, and then somewhere down the line, because of the circus tour and probably other business dealings, they just kept it in place, most likely so things were smooth. And not to mention, lots of people are profiting off this, right? I mean, there's a whole nother issue here that I'm glad is being brought to light by Britney's case, but that's conservatorship abuse. And, you know, the California court system makes this quite easy. There's documentaries out there if you want to really learn more about it, but Britney's not the only one that's being taken advantage of. Unfortunately, it's happening to far too many people, but she's probably the biggest face of this that people want to advocate for, so hopefully it's going to help shed some light on other things. But now, when this conservatorship was going to start, Britney pretty much knew there was no way out. She tried to contact Adam Streisand, tried to get her own attorney. It was all nil. And there's a voicemail recording that the documentary, I don't know why they didn't put this in because I think it's a pretty big deal, but it was from around 2009. She knew the conservatorship was going to happen. And basically she says, you know, I know my father is going to do this. She's calling an attorney, right, for some clarification on the steps that are going to happen once this is put into effect. She basically says, I'm not techie. I'm going to see if I can plug it into this episode. But if I can't figure it out, she basically says, I know this conservatorship is going to happen. I know my father is going to have control. But I just want to know, you know, in regards to my kids, because he's threatening me about taking my children away, that everything is going to be fine with my custody arrangement, and this conservatorship is not going to affect that. So that clues us into two things. Number one, Jamie from the beginning has threatened Britney and coerced her into this situation, most likely using her kids as the biggest draw for her, right? It's going to be the best for your custody. It's going to be the best for your personal life with your kids. Like, just listen to us and, you know, basically you can raise your children. Well, that didn't happen. And let's not forget that Jamie actually had to step down as her conservator because of a alleged altercation between the grandchildren and him that was perhaps maybe almost to the physical side, or it was so scary that Kevin Federline basically took out a restraining order against Britney's dad because he got in an argument with the kids or something. There was maybe some physical altercation, not physical abuse, but like banging on a door. The kids were scared enough that the dad called the cops and filed a restraining order. So because of that, Britney's custody arrangement was actually reduced. So this is where we're starting to see some changes, because once this happened, all of a sudden now, plus with the Free Britney movement, I think it helped, put some pressure and some eyes on the situation, but now Britney's starting to make some moves. For the longest time, it was almost like she was just kind of going along with it. We all kind of forgot about it, even us as fans. I mean, we're going to the concerts, we're watching her on The X Factor. Nobody's thinking like, does she still need to be in this? You know, we're all just like, well, she seems happy, she's doing good. But then her kids are taken away from her, and now things start to get real. Her attorney all of a sudden starts to step up. This guy who she never chose to represent her, who for the longest time was basically just going along with this conservatorship and not really advocating for her, has now started to make some moves. He's made it very clear that Britney will not perform until her father is not involved, at least in the personal side of her conservatorship, that she is afraid of her father. This is in court records saying she is afraid of her father. And they made it clear to put in the court records that Britney wants this not to be secret. She does not want this to be sealed, and she appreciates the support and information being passed on to her fans. Now, this is important because Jamie Spears actually came out and said this whole Free Britney movement was a conspiracy theory. And this was around the time that we found out she was put in that mental health facility against her will after Domination was canceled. And she put out also this Instagram post where she said, you know, a lot of people are talking about me, but I'm fine, everything's okay, I just need to focus on my family. So it's in public documents that Britney has said she doesn't want to work if her father is still involved. She's afraid of her father, and she wants her fans to be informed about what's going on. Basically, she doesn't want all these court hearings to be sealed. So that is telling us that Britney is saying, hey, I want the world to know what's happening. This isn't a conspiracy theory. My dad might be saying it is, but I need some help. That's my takeaway from it. And I want to circle back to the fact that they called this a hybrid business model. I think that's very concerning, and I think that shows a conflict of interest. And again, why does she need a conservatorship over her person? She'll probably be fine with a business conservatorship, but she doesn't need someone running her day-to-day life and making decisions for her and taking away the liberties that she's entitled to as a citizen and just a human being in general. Again, the documentary didn't really go into too many details about how the conservatorship was first put into place, and they didn't mention this woman, Lou Taylor, at all, who also allegedly tried to get involved with Lindsay Lohan's family. And I'm pretty sure Michael Lohan has put out a couple statements regarding this woman and how she tried to get Lindsay into a conservatorship. Who knows? Maybe it's out of good intentions. But the fact of the matter is, this isn't her first rodeo doing this, right? So Lou Taylor has tried this with the Lohans. Michael Lohan has said this, so this is public record, that allegedly she tried to also do a conservatorship with her. So it's very strange what's going on with TriStar Entertainment and Britney and getting this conservatorship in place. And that's all I know. I don't know if she's good. I don't know if she's bad. I don't know if Britney likes her. I don't know if Britney doesn't like her. But allegedly, she came into the picture with Jamie and convinced him this was going to be a good idea and helped kind of get the ball into motion. And I think the whole thing was done in haste. I don't know if they dotted their I's and crossed their T's, because now, after the documentary, we have a lot of lawyers coming out that have access to such files and public records, and they're looking into it and saying, no, she wasn't given this, she wasn't given due process. So I think we're going to start to see a lot of new information come out, particularly after Thursday, because Britney has another court hearing about this. Her mom has just filed something to ask for a new attorney to be brought onto the case. So I'm really, really thankful for this documentary, because not only does now the general public have a better idea of what's going on, and the general public is going to stop trashing her Instagram, but also now there's so much pressure that really the judges are going to have to know, like, all eyes are on this situation, and they really have to answer and justify why they would still keep not only Jamie in charge of her life when she's made it perfectly clear she doesn't want him to be, and she's scared of him, and he has ruined her custody agreement with her children. I mean, how sad is this? This is a woman who only wanted to get married and raise a family. She didn't stay married for long. She basically didn't get to raise a family because of the custody agreement. And now, because of what happened the other year with Jamie and her sons, she barely gets to see her kids at all. And I think that's really sad, because the very thing that was put into place to protect her are taking that away from her. So those are my thoughts. I think it's really, really sad that it has taken so long for everyone to kind of unearth these facts, but better late than never. I hope the general public continues to rally around Britney and ask questions and keep the pressure on this case. And I think also give her a little bit of slack because we don't know what she's going through. And I don't think you should judge someone's Instagram when you don't know the whole situation. And labeling people crazy is not the way to go about fixing the stigma about mental health in this country, but also helping people to get better. And instead of thinking and saying, what is wrong with this person? I think we should always be saying, what's wrong with the situation that's causing this to seem a little strange? Even I will admit that her Instagram seems a little strange, but we don't know if she's actually editing these videos and putting them on herself. This could be her social media manager. I mean, I don't think they're like forcing her to record these things and upload them herself. Maybe she is. Maybe she's doing it because it's her only outlet. Maybe she is trying to send some sort of signals. Or maybe she really is just being forced to take medication unnecessarily and it's really starting to warp her brain. I mean, has anyone ever thought to consider this? If she's in a conservatorship and they're forcing her to take medication, which the Britney's Graham voicemail alleges the reason the Domination show was canceled, and she doesn't need to be on this medication, or maybe, you know, she could make some decisions to go to her own doctors or try some other doctors and try some other things, but she can't do that because she can't make those decisions about her life. So, you know, I wouldn't be surprised that this could be warping her brain a little bit. Plus, adding on to that, you know, the trauma of everything she went through over the years, the extreme isolation, it's not gonna put you in the best mental state. And honestly, I think that her brain is kind of stuck in her mid-20s, around age 25 when this all started, because essentially her liberties and her life as she knew it, this was all taken away at that age. And then for the rest of it, she's been living in this conservatorship. So while she might be living in this current conservatorship at the current age she's at, 38, 39, her brain might be stuck in her mid-20s because, wow, a lot has happened since then, but she basically hasn't been treated like an adult since then. She's been told what to do, she's followed the rules, she's played nice, but that's not really living a life. That's just kind of like living like a robot and just living for the next day. I mean, how sad is that? She's pretty much in a Groundhog's Day, just waiting to get out. And that attorney made it pretty clear it's quite difficult to get out of these conservatorships, especially because they are designed for people that are either close to death or forever going to be mentally handicapped and not be able to control their lives, which no doubt Britney has shown that, at least for her personal life, she's totally fine doing that. If she can work the way she has, she can manage her own life. And that is the takeaway from all of this. Forget a business conservatorship. Forget why it was put into place in the beginning, which it was supposed to be temporary. The question is, why now, after all of these years, is it so difficult to get this woman out of it when she clearly wants to be and she's clearly capable of being out of it? If she can work the way she's worked, she should be able to live her life on her own. That's the bottom line. Like I said, this isn't just about Britney. You know, conservatorship abuse is a huge, huge problem. But I do hope that this whole situation is not only going to help Britney's case, but help many other people's case and shed some light on it. You know, we have to look at the silver lining in everything. And I think at the end of the day, as fans, nobody wants anything more than just Britney to be able to do whatever she wants. I mean, who wouldn't love a huge comeback, you know, VMA performance, Super Bowl. But at the end of the day, if she just wants to get out of this, move to Louisiana or move to a foreign country where nobody knows who she is and, you know, wear a wig and not be bothered, then she should be able to do that. She has given the world so much and it's so sad that she's almost in her, you know, midlife. And she's never really gotten to live the life that she wanted to live. So this is the time that I hope it can change for her. She's still quite young. You know, she's in a relationship. She still has time to get married, hopefully have another baby if she wants. And I just want her to be able to be happy and make those decisions. And I think that's what the entire world wants. So Britney, we are rooting for you. We stand by you. We are not judging you. The only thing we are judging is this conservatorship and why it is still in effect. If you come out and say that you want it, then I think people would support you. But I'm pretty sure we all know that that's not the case. So all eyes are on this. It's only going to grow more in awareness with the general public. And we're going to be watching all of you attorneys and judges and people that are involved with this. So this isn't going anywhere. So I would be careful because you've got all eyes on you now. So with that being said, we're sorry, Brittany. We love you. Free Brittany. That's all for now. Peace.